to gain equality. She says, learn to bear the shocks of the world, keeping the central part as witness, untouched by outer things. So first of all, we have got to get this kind of bearing the shocks of the world. You cannot just ask for equality. You have to train yourself, your mind and your vital will. So what is the training? She says, first, learn to absorb the shocks. Then extend this inner peace to its instrumentality. Because she says, you must keep the central part as witness. So from the central absorption, you know, if something has happened to you in your personal life, your mind may be disturbed in the beginning, your vital may be really reactionary, but inwardly you have this faith and you say, no, it's okay. This is also from the divine. And this inner understanding, this inner making yourself understand or making yourself accept things, will gradually lead you to make your instruments accept. So maybe after 3 years or maybe after 30 incidents, then your mind also is not affected. You don't have to really plead with your mind saying, oh mind, don't be disturbed. After all, this is also the divine. Try to see the positive hand. So this is, as you say, yoga is really psychology also. So it's a constant talking to yourself, talking to your instrumentality, convincing yourself, reminding yourself that this is the divine, that this is the mother's hand. It is a kind of a constant monologue that takes place in you, with you, or a dialogue between yourself and your soul. So this is really an inward yoga. That is why this yoga can be done at every moment of your life, while you are listening here, or going to your offices, or playing in the tennis field. At the same time, its continuity must be maintained. So people sometimes, well, certain times, I almost speak to myself so loudly that I'm afraid if a second person hears me, they may think I'm mad. So it is that kind of a possession, you know. You really speak to your being constantly. And, well, let it not be too loud, otherwise people may put you behind the bars. So it's just a quiet dialogue, but a continuous struggle. So this is a psychological process. And Sri Aurobindo has a definition, complete samatha takes long to establish, and it is dependent on 3 things. The soul's self-giving to the divine by an inner surrender, the descent of the spiritual calm and peace from above, and the steady, long and persistent rejection of all egoistic, rajasic and other feelings that contradict samatha. Well, then we have, in psychological perfection that Mother was explaining, there is of course the most important thing, the devotion. But Mother is a real great psychologist. She says, even in devotion, you may have ego. She says, with devotion there is also the ego. One thinks of only one's devotion, and if the divine does not respond favorably, the enthusiasm is lost. You see, you may be having a lot of bhakti, but what is happening in bhakti? You are thinking about yourself. So see, it is such a dangerous marker, you know, this thing constantly. If you ask the divine to protect you, or if you have a lot of bhakti, Mother says, there is again the element of ego there. And the whole process is to get out of this ego. But Mother gives a beautiful thing. She says, how to get away from this danger of ego, even in bhakti, imagine. She says, but with the complementary gratitude, one gets a sublime joy. The very fact that the divine exists brings a great joy. So what is the best way of getting away from this ego in bhakti? She says, have the gratitude, gratefulness. And to one of the sadhus in the ashram, she had spoken long at great length that how we human beings, if we lack anything very badly, is this gratitude. We call to the divine, we ask the mother to do certain things, and she very sadly says that how many people, after they get the things, do they remember me? It's very sad that we are never grateful to the divine. But before, when we are in trouble, when we are some, when we want something, we'll call, we'll implore, we'll cry, we'll do anything. But the moment the thing is in the hand, in the human beings, if she says, give something, I say, thank you. But to the divine, we never say a thanks. If we take it for granted almost. But she says, it is not to please the divine, maybe to tell her thanks, if she may be pleased that Anandedi is a civilized fellow. But the divine does not go by the opinions. But by being grateful, by showing our gratitude, it is again helpful for us. It is not helpful for the divine at all. But being grateful, what happens? There is a great humility that comes in. And there is a constant memory of the divine. Because after we get the thing possesses you so much that we forget the divine. But if we remember to be grateful, then even the possession of a thing becomes a little subsided. So it is in bhakti also, she says, it is the element of gratitude that really will take away the ego sense even in bhakti. And then, in all these things, most important and where I think we all fail is endurance. To face difficulties without getting disheartened, endurance on the physical level is perseverance. So what happens? We pray, we read, and yet there are no results. 3 months have passed, 3 years have passed, 15 years have passed, and there's no results. And that's where we get disheartened. And many people in the ashram have really returned from the ashram saying, I've been here 20 years and nothing has happened. And maybe the day he went away from Pondicherry, he got something. So it is that kind of a thing, you know, you have to persevere. That endurance must be there. So among the 5 psychological perfections, which as we have discussed some of them, one is sincerity, faith, devotion, aspiration, and endurance. So the last element in this perfection, in this aspiration element, Mother emphasizes on endurance. Persevere. Time is with you. But of course, when she is explaining these psychological perfections, she says, but to do the integral yoga, one must first of all take the resolution to surrender entirely to the divine. There's no other way, that is the only way. Afterwards, one must have the 5 psychological perfections. I read out this line because it is very important that although in our study today, first I am speaking about aspiration, then rejection, and then we'll speak about surrender. Mother says, the first central decision that you have to take to come to this yoga is that you decide to surrender. So the whole process is opposite. Because it is surrender. It's a decision to make surrender. You may not be able to start with the surrender at all. It is very difficult. But first decide that my life will be surrendered at the feet of the mother. And that one single mental decision, let it be a mental, or even I would say start with a lip service and start and just say this sentence. And may this lip service get into a little deeper and become a mental decision. And then something deeper. So mother says, so first start with this decision or this surrender. Then comes the psychological perfection, she says. Then you can aspire, then you can have devotion, then you can have faith, then you can have aspiration, etc. So this is why, although we are studying in a different manner, please keep that in mind, that she says, the first thing necessary is surrender. Now we have the second aspect of rejection. Well, rejection, as Sri Aurobindo again writes in the Mother, rejection of the movements of the lower nature, rejection of the mind's ideas, opinions, preferences, habits, constructions, so that the true knowledge may find free room in a silent mind. So, on the level of the mind, it is these things to be rejected. Your ideas, your opinions, your preferences. And on the level of the vital, rejection of the vital nature's desires, demands, cravings, sensations, passions, selfishness, pride, arrogance, lust, greed, jealousy, envy, hostility to the truth, so that the true power and joy may pour from above into a calm, large, strong and consecrated vital being. And lastly, rejection of the physical nature's stupidity, doubt, disbelief, obscurity, obstinacy, pettiness, laziness, unwillingness to change, tamas, so that the true stability of light, power, ananda may establish itself in a body growing always more divine. So you see, this is again the great process of rejection on each of these levels. Rejection of the lower nature and acceptance and invitation to the higher nature. Well, in one word, rejection is nothing but self-purification. In old yogas, if you have this word, in fact in South we have a lot of these attempts at purification. Even on the level of the body, there are attempts at purification. But the thing is, old yogas did purification in order that the soul gets released from the workings of the ignorant Prakriti. But in integral yoga, we seek to liberate nature also by the spiritual transformation. So what is the essence of this rejection? You must have seen the whole list here. It makes you empty. But empty of what? Empty of all that is undivine. And by emptying all this, what are you doing? It is not a kind of a nirvana, it is not blasting off oneself, it is not going away from this world. It is rejection of your lower nature, so that the higher nature may possess you. The higher nature is nothing but the nature of the divine. So what is happening? You are replacing the lower by the higher. That means the lower is subsumed or transformed or transmuted into the higher. So this is the difference between the old and the Sri Aurobindo. In old, you purify your body, you purify your mind and all this. This is so that your Atman can go away from this body, leaving this body. So that they say, you unshackle this body's strings and these chains by the method of self-purification, so that the soul goes away. No. There is no so that the soul goes away. It is so that the divine may inhabit this body itself. So this is the whole turn that he gives to the old yoga by this process of purification. Otherwise, purification is there in the old yogas also. But as I have always emphasized, what for? So this is the difference. Now, we will skip this purification as I have told you. It is a whole list of things.
The last two lines.
The last two lines, rejection of the physical. Rejection of the physical nature, stupidity.
Changing of the nature, not the escape from nature.
Is it a quotation I made?
It was not a quotation. What you just read.
I've not read anything, sir. I just
spoke. Escape, the transformation and the changing of the nature itself, the lower nature.
Well, I think you have said that, sir.
So it was put in very beautiful words.
I'm sorry, I didn't read anything. I spoke it out only, so I don't remember.
Look, that's why.
I know, my eyes are, wandering. So, no, I'm not ready, it's just I spoke.
Explanation.
Yeah, it was more an explanation. So, what in this process of rejection? Well, you try to reject one simple habit of yours and you understand what rejection means. You know, let's not go by this list. Start with one simple emotion of jealousy or anger or tamas or laziness. And you take up any one, start with one. And you'll see already an ocean of resistance that comes in your being. And your vital will say, how dare you are telling me not to be angry. when that fellow has really, you know, harmed me so much, you know, the whole nature revolts. So Sri Aurobindo says, so you have got to be ready to face the challenges, the revolts, and mind you, not only yourself, but you are what? A wave in a subconscious ocean. So behind you, there is a whole humanity that will revolt. So you see, it is like a hornet's nest, you know. You touch that and the whole beehive will come to sting you. There's not one bee that you will get rid of. So this is the so-called I capital, N capital, P capital, O capital impossibility of this yoga. And yet, we are asked to do that. How we are still going. So this is the whole nature's revolt that will be behind you. And yet we have to start. We have to begin somewhere. So there is, first of all, the revolt that comes in your way, and then, as Sri Aurobindo himself says, the process is long and strenuous, and the inner battle rages on as many fronts, because you may be rejecting one thing on the mental level, one thing on the vital level, one thing on the physical level. So they have all these three oceans, as if the Bay of Bengal, Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean are behind you, you know, really revolting against you. And this is the great process of rejection. And then, what is the way? Do we leave the battle and sit down quietly? And I think I would say yes to all those who are not in this hall, but a no to all those who are in this hall. That we can't sit down quietly. Once we know, let us begin. Failure and success is not in our hands. It is someone else who does it. Because the surest method is, number one, the old sadhak, old yogas have spoken about self-control. You know, in this process of purification, what do we learn? Start self-control. If you are greedy, okay, when the food comes in front of you, reject from it and you say, no, I should not eat too much. Then if you are a little angry, when anger comes, some people say, put your hands in your pocket and then be quiet. Some people say, count 22 and then your anger will go out. I mean, there are kinds, ways of self-controlling of all these things. But as I told you, self-control is only a beginning. It is a sattvic method given by the old yogas. But as I have been always pointing out, you are not alone in this world. You are only a focus point. You are only a wave in the superconscious ocean as well as in the subconscious ocean. So if you want to gain something for the world, the whole divine is behind you. But if there's a resistance, the whole subconscious is behind you. So there is this aspect. So just a self-control may be good. You may be said that, oh, this man is a big sattvic fellow, and your ego may be flattered because you have control and your anger. But it will not be a transformation. It will be a beginning. And of course, a beginning we must. It doesn't mean that we should not. But the surest method is the surrender again. The last thing that we are going to emphasize upon. The other method is that of surrender of the entire being in all its parts to the divine. Instead of relying on one's own efforts, the sadhak puts himself in the hands of the divine with entire trust and confidence. So you see, this yoga, time and again Sri Aurobindo reminds us, is to be done by the divine alone. Because it's only the divine who can face the ocean of subconscious behind you. If no individual effort can really purify you. There are two ways of uniting with the divine. One is to concentrate in the heart and go sufficiently deep down to find there his presence. The other is to fling oneself in his arms, to nestle there as a child nestles in his mother's arms, with a total abandon. And of the two, this latter seems to me the easier, says the mother. So you see, this relentless battle we cannot. So he says, one is your self struggle, which was the method of the old yogas, that I will meditate for 8 hours a day and I will be a sattvic man, I will have self-control. But mother says the easier method is like the child who runs to the arms of the mother when in difficulty. So she says, nestle yourself in the arms of the mother and she will do the thing for you. So the process of rejection by the will and its effort is not enough to remove the ego. Besides, in integral yoga, the nature has not only to be purified, but to be raised to a higher status. This can be done only by the descent of a higher force, higher consciousness. So, as we are telling, the easier method is to run into the mother's lap, surrender to the mother and ask her to take it up. But there are some methods of opening, because you can ask, how do we go to the mother's arms? This question is important. It's easy to say, depend on the mother, keep yourselves open to the mother. But how? What does it mean to keep oneself open to the mother? The definition here is, opening means receptivity to the mother's presence and her forces. Now there is a further question, because it says, receptivity to the mother's presence. And again, how can we become receptive? Because there are questions and questions. Until we get a very practical answer from Sri Aurobindo, that if to be open is to be receptive, how do we be receptive? The best method is a constant memory of the mother. So this at least we can do. This at least is within our hands and within our minds, within our heart. So if we have a constant memory, and that constant memory can be a japa, can be just a name, can be the image of the Lord, can be an incident from the mother, something that really keeps the mother consciousness or mother image or mother name at the back of your mind. And this is what is called the receptivity to the mother, and this is what we call the opening to the mother's force and mother's consciousness, which will gradually, increasingly hold your whole being and take you from difficulty to difficulty, from high to further heights. So this is the method of our rejection. And I think I'll cut short that thing and we'll come straight away to the point of surrender. Because we have a little, I think I'm too late, maybe.
No.
I have another 15 minutes if you can bear. Now, in mother, this is a third process, aspiration, rejection and surrender. And Sri Aurobindo writes in the mother, surrender, let me tell you that later. Surrender of oneself and all one is and has, and every plane of the consciousness and every movement to the divine and the Shakti. Now, we will take up these points one by one. Let me read out the thing first. Sorry. In proportion as the surrender and self-consecration progress, the sadhaka becomes conscious of the divine Shakti doing the sadhana, pouring into him more and more of herself, founding in him the freedom and perfection of the divine nature. The more this conscious process replaces his own effort, the more rapid and true becomes his progress. But it cannot completely replace the necessity of personal effort until the surrender and consecration are pure and complete from top to bottom. Note that a tamasic surrender, refusing to fulfill the conditions and calling on God to do everything and save one all the trouble and struggle in a deception, is a deception and does not lead to freedom and perfection. So you see, we have got three or four very major points here. One is surrender of oneself totally, as I had given you mother's own definition that she had given to me. And then secondly is, in proportion as your surrender increases, the mother begins to possess your being. And then third point here is that tamasic surrender would not do. as I had already referred to this earlier, that we cannot expect the surrender to be done by the divine for ourselves. He said that is why the personal effort, until and unless the surrender becomes complete, the personal effort must continue. So there must be this kind of a rejection and aspiration and surrender continuing. But you can ask the question, how do we know when the mother takes over this yoga from you? It is true we keep on surrendering. But how do we know that this is there we can stop our personal effort and let the mother take over this sadhana? Well, the answer that Sri Aurobindo gives is that it's only on a psychic awakening that your personal effort can be decreased, not stopped though, can be decreased. But the line, the demarcation line is a psychic awareness or a psychic opening or a psychic realization. Until then, let us not fool ourselves saying that I have done 8 hours of meditation and I am thinking about 22 hours, that I should not make any efforts. No. He said that will be a self-deception. So this limit when mother takes over the sadhana is only at the point of a psychic realization. And when it happens, it is an automatic thing. You don't have to make a mental decision saying that tomorrow onwards I'll not reject. It is an automatic thing. So that's the true surrender. And what is true surrender? Well, let me read out one more quotation of the mother when she says, and I've been really touched by this long back. Champakbhai had first given me this quotation from the mother. What is surrender? She says, give up trying, give up the will to progress, give up the aspiration for realization, give up everything and say to the Lord in all sincerity, let thy will be done. So this is the real stage of surrender. When we have seen before that there is no aim in our life, no aim for perfection, no aim for progress, no aim for bliss, no aim for ananda or satchidananda. It is only dog. It is only let thy will be done. So you see the beautiful spiritual mantra that give up trying, even this effort, you know, give up the will to progress, give up the aspiration for realization, give up everything and say to the Lord in all sincerity, the word is that all sincerity, and we have seen what sincerity means. So let us not begin saying, let thy will be done and go and knock your head against a thing. No. You must be sure that there is an integral sincerity in you. There must be this oneness. And for heaven's sake, let's not take up this word, give up trying too seriously in the beginning. As Sri Aurobindo said, personal effort is a must. So this quotation really applies at a much later stage. It is very beautiful, but I'm afraid it comes into our life at a much, much later stage. It's only when, as I said, at the stage of the psychicization, not before. So in defining this surrender, we see that true surrender is not to demand or desire anything, not even to progress. We must have complete trust and confidence in divine power and accept its whole working wholeheartedly. This inward acceptance is what we mean by the inner surrender of the vital and the mental and the physical. Surrender denotes, mother says, a self-offering of the whole being in all its parts. So we are coming now, when Sri Aurobindo said, surrender in all your being. So it must be the whole being. And then a selfless self-giving is the supreme secret of sadhana. Well, here I think you remember the famous sloka from the Gita when Sri Krishna asks him that take refuge in me alone. So that is the ultimate complete surrender. And then Here there must, I may bring to you one little note of, that we have to really take note of. Surrender, when we do this kind of self-offering, let not the notion of sacrifice come into our being. Because many times we confuse that I am sacrificing this to the Lord. No. The word sacrifice is very wrong in this context. Because mother says, sacrificing, what are you sacrificing, may I ask you? You are sacrificing your ignorant nature for this divine nature? Is that a sacrifice? When do you call a sacrifice? That you are offering something great for something smaller, or something that is beautiful within you, or something really great. But in the context of what you are getting from the divine beauty and bliss and ananda, it is not a sacrifice. And at the same time, the notion of sacrifice brings in the element of ego, that I am sacrificing my things to the divine. So that please cut out that I. So you see, that word sacrifice also does not almost exist. In a common parlance, one could speak about it. But in a true yogic method, that should not be there. So, surrender may be defined as the giving up of the limits of your ego. To surrender to the divine is to renounce your narrow limits and let yourself be invaded by it and made a center for its play. Well, now how do we surrender? There is always a progressive method in surrender. We cannot really surrender the first day. So Sri Aurobindo says, first make a sankalpa, an inner decision to surrender, as I was just now referring. And then try to make it effective in every circumstance of life. First of all, you make a sankalpa, the decision that, okay, I will surrender. Then as circumstances come into your life, good and bad, you start surrendering these things to the mother. And then this will concretize more and more as your sincerity increases. Then another point that is very important for surrender is it is voluntary. Surrender should never be compulsory, that somebody has told you to surrender to the mother. No. It is your inner feeling, your inner decision, is your inner freedom that counts. So, as the mother puts it, surrender means a free total giving with all the delight of the giving. There is no sense of sacrifice in it. I was just referring. If you have the slightest feeling that you are making a sacrifice, then it is no longer surrender. For it means that you reserve yourself, or that you are trying to give with grudging or with pain and effort, and have not the joy of the gift, perhaps not even the feeling that you are giving. So what we are just now discussing about sacrifice. And lastly, when Sri Aurobindo says, the surrender must not be tamasic, it must be active and dynamic surrender. You must be conscious. And active, well, I'll leave that. But in this context, mother once explained to her children in the class the difference between two kinds of surrender, and maybe you must have heard about it. The surrender of a baby cat and a baby monkey. Well, these are two different types of surrender, where the baby monkey holds to its mother. Wherever the mother goes, it holds, clutches to its mother, and the mother carries the child. And the baby cat leaves itself completely to the mother's wish, and it's the mother who catches the baby cat. It's the cat which catches the baby and takes it. So there is a kind of a complete passive surrender. The monkey is the active surrender. I mean, it clutches, it goes with the mother. But then the question is, which one do we take it up? Either the baby cat or the monkey cat? Well, the ideal is, of course, the baby cat. But can we do that in the beginning? No. So in the beginning, let us be the baby monkeys. Hold on to the mother as much as possible. Hold on with all our will, all our sincerity, all our surrender, all our aspiration. Because we have to have this personal effort. It is only at a later stage, when you are psychicized, that the mother can take you freely on our own will. So let us not think of choosing this or that. In fact, let us be on safe ground of saying, let us be all baby monkeys. And maybe to be baby monkeys is nearer to our nature. And then, well, we have different stages of surrender, where it is described as when the sadhak first takes the decision, that is called the sharanagati. Then there is atmanivedana, that is to say self-offering, offering to the Lord saying, let thy will be done. And there is a third and the ultimate surrender stage, which is called atmasamarpana. Perfection of self-surrender. The sadhaka offers to the divine each part of his being one by one, some easily, others with greater difficulty. So this kind of an atmasamarpana or an absolute unified surrender is the ultimate. And here we have a case in the ashram narrated to us by the mother herself. I don't know if you have heard, or maybe you must have read something about, written by him. He was Pavitrara. He was the director of the school at ashram. He was a real great yogi who had come maybe in early 30s, 1930s. And he did an intense sadhana, a very conscious, the path that we have said here of aspiration, rejection and surrender. And he passed away in mid-60s, at 64 or 65, sometime. And next day, mother spoke to some people in her room, saying that Pavitrada had made this kind of a complete surrender from each, from the body, from the vital, from the mental. The whole, every part of his being was surrendered. And mother says, last night, for 2 to 3 hours, she was absorbed. I mean, sort of, in a way that Pavitrada had held the mother, so that he was channelizing everything from himself to the mother. This kind of a last, this was the passing away stage, when Pavitrada was leaving his body. So at that moment, mother says, he has really given everything consciously, cell by cell, movement by movement, thought by thought, everything to the mother. And for 3 hours this long procedure took place. And then the mother says, he has done such a thing that no one till now in the spiritual history has done. Not even the old rishis, she says. So this kind of a total surrender from the body to the mind, this kind of a complete self-absorption into the mother's body, we have at least narrated, maybe others have done, we don't know, narrated to us by the mother. So this is a possibility. What we have told or talked about till now is not an impossibility. With the grace of the Lord, it can be done, and it has been done. Well, when I speak about the grace of the Lord, Sri Aurobindo speaks about the sunlit path. Because this great difficult yoga can be done if we follow what he says, the sunlit path. And the sunlit path is nothing but the path of the psychic being or the path of the divine's grace. And we have already discussed what this sunlit path and what the psychic, discussed about what the psychic being is. So Sri Aurobindo says, if you realize your psychic being, then all the difficulties, all the aspiration and rejection and surrender becomes easy. That is why he calls this path the sunlit path. I'll read out. If the inmost soul is awakened, if there is a new birth out of the mere mental, vital and physical into the psychic consciousness, then this yoga can be done. Otherwise, by the soul power of the mind or any other part, it is impossible. Because he says, when the psychic being opens, what happens? There is a direct vision of truth. The heart overflows with deep devotion and the will consecrates itself to the service of the divine. The whole being opens to the divine Shakti. It brings the presence or nearness to the mother, and the divine force then takes up the sadhana. And Sri Aurobindo says, the supramental change can take place only if the psychic is awake and is made the chief support of the descending supramental power. Well, the question, the obvious question that I would have to answer later, but I'll answer right now, is how do we awaken the psychic being which leads to the sunlit path? One of the things is aspiration, constant and sincere, and the will to turn to the divine alone are the best means to bring forward the psychic. One of the means is aspiration, constant and sincere, and the will to turn to the divine alone are the best means to bring forward the psychic being. Another method is, the one thing to do is to keep the mantra of success, the determination of victory, the fixed resolve, have it I must and have it I will. He wrote in a letter to Dilip, saying that if you want the psychic being, take up this mantra of success. And what is this mantra of success? That have it I will. That means this strong determination, this strong aspiration. Have it I must and have it I will. So this is, he says, the success mantra. The other one is the bhakti and surrender are also effective. For bhakti by its intensity purifies the being by removing vital desires, demands, passions, etc. A constant thinking of the divine and unebbing flow of the heart's purest emotions to the supreme lover is the best method. The third one is concentration of consciousness in the heart. The process is one of tapasya. Here, one adopts the method, the Vedic method, where one says, I am not the body, I am not the life, I am not the mind, I am that. You know, we have this old mantra, even maybe Ramana Maharishi had really talked a lot about this. When we really say that I am not this, I am not this, I am not this, I am that. So this is another process of getting towards the psychic being. The another method is of concentration consciousness is to go inwards to the psychic center, deep within, behind the inner being. It feels as if he were moving deep down into a well or abyss till he reaches the center place of the psychic. One may take help of an image for keeping the mind fixed upon the center. Well, this is, Mother talked about it in our class. This is one of the easy methods is when you sit down in meditation, you concentrate within yourself and you imagine you are going down a deep well or a deep tunnel. And you are going down and down and down, and keep this passage, this, because as I remind you again, it is all a psychological process. So with one's own auto-suggestion, mental will, one can do this. So it says, while you are going down, keep an image of the Lord within your mind, because that image is the light and the protection and the guide to take you through this dark tunnel. So it says, one is seated, Mother is saying, so when you are going towards the tunnel, what is the ultimate experience? It says, one is seated, as it were, before a closed door, a heavy door of bronze, and one remains there with the will to open, to pass through the other side. And then all the concentration, all the aspiration gathers into a single beam and starts pushing against the door, pushing harder and harder with an ever-increasing energy until suddenly the door gives way and one enters as if precipitated into the light. So this is the method that she had given to her sadhak and children, that go on beyond the tunnel, go into the well, and there you'll come across a bronze door or a heavy door, and which is blocking your way, but you sit there tight and keep on pushing, and pushing again, not your will, call the mother self to push the door, push the door. She says, if your efforts are there, suddenly there will be this, the door will break and you will be in front of the light. Well, I'll not go further in this. It's only, I'll wind up to say, what Sriramandas said, if the psychic is strong and master throughout, then there's no or little subjective suffering, and the objective cannot affect either the soul or the other parts of the consciousness. The way is sunlit, and the great joy and sweetness are the note of the whole sadhana. So that is why perhaps we used to call the mother Dusmaya, or the sweet mother. Because you see the last quotation, it says, if there is a psychic realization, the way is sunlit, and a great joy and sweetness are the note of the whole sadhana. And the mother, as we as children call sweet mother, must have had this inner meaning, that this is mother is that inner sweetness of the psychic being. And if you contact that mother, even externally and internally, your path becomes sunlit. That means without any difficulty or danger or problems. So this is the whole trajectory or the route of the intern or integral sadhana. But although I have titled it Transformative Yoga, let me clarify this point, that I have dealt more on the sadhana aspect, bringing you to this stage of the sunlit path or the psychicization. But this is the first stage of the transformation. The real transformation begins now, and maybe we have some other occasion to speak about it, because the transformation means psychicization, spiritualization and supramentalization.